On Friday, February 24th, the South Dakota Senate approved a ban on nearly all abortions in the state. The ban has stirred enormous fear in people around the country because it seems to foreshadow a challenge to Roe v. Wade, the federal legislation that legalized abortion throughout the U.S. 33 years ago. If South Dakota's governor signs the bill into law, which he is expected to do in the coming days, the ban may be taken to the Supreme Court, where it could directly challenge the legal status of abortion in the U.S. South Dakota's abortion ban includes no exception for people who were raped, and a rapist who fathers a child could secure the same legal rights to his child as the mother, deepening many people's dread of the ban. Marlene Gerber-Fried is a longtime activist for reproductive freedom. She co-founded the National Network of Abortion Funds. She organizes an annual international conference on reproductive justice, and she teaches courses on the abortion debate at Hampshire College. She promotes a reframing of the abortion debate away from the idea of choice and toward the idea of justice. On Tuesday, February 28th, she spoke in Lexington, Massachusetts, about South Dakota's threat to reproductive autonomy. The following is a recording of her lecture.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm really happy to be here, especially at a time when the threats on all fronts are getting worse. We should just talk a little bit about the direct and immediate threats that are happening right now, just so you could get as depressed as I am. I teach a class called The Politics of the Abortion Debate. Today I was teaching Roe v. Wade, and I feel like I'm in some sort of a time warp. The language in the South Dakota law, that was what the law was when Roe v. Wade was decided. The case was Texas. Texas had a law, as did most other states, that prohibited abortion except in cases where the life of the pregnant woman was in danger. The South Dakota ban, which has not been, it's not yet law. The governor has 15 days to sign it. Everyone thinks he will sign it. The only hesitation there seemed to be in that was that it will immediately create a lawsuit, because while a state can give you more rights than the federal government, it can't give you fewer. So this would basically be a direct threat to Roe v. Wade, and so it will immediately go into court. Now, some unnamed people in South Dakota have pledged $1 million to the state to be able to fight the lawsuit. So for those who worried a little in the state that it would be cost a lot of state money, it won't cost a lot of state money. The second thing is that this legislation is somewhat controversial within the anti-abortion movement. There are people who think that they simply cannot win. Interestingly enough, 66% of people in the U.S. say that they don't want Roe overturned. But only 51% identify themselves as solidly and thoroughly pro-choice. So what that tells you is that there are a lot of people who oppose abortion but want women to be able to have the choice. So I think that it will incredibly fractionalize the other side and the Republican Party. I hope so. There's got to be some good in all of this. And there are people who oppose abortion who think that it's not a good idea. But then there are others, and this is something I want to also talk about later, who say, let's go for it. You know, you have to always push your vision, even if you think it's not winnable at this particular time. There are five other states that are considering such legislation, so there's a lot of attention on what happens in South Dakota. In 2004, the Center for Reproductive Rights did an analysis of all of the states asking what if Roe was overturned. And their analysis led them to the conclusion that they could only say that in 20 states would abortion rights be secured. So 30 states in which they're likely to go down. And 21 where that would happen very quickly. In some states, there are old laws on the books that just were never taken away, and so if Roe were overturned, those laws would immediately go into effect. But what you're seeing in South Dakota is something that you would also see which is states that will move now to pass bans that never had them before. And more states will do that. It will be a strategy. So you'll go back to something like right before Roe v. Wade. Right before Roe, abortion was legal in New York, Alaska, and California. And basically what the pro-choice activists of that day looked at that situation and said, if we have to go state by state, we're going to be here until, you know, the year 3000, which is exactly, of course, what the opponents of abortion are doing now. If they need to go state by state, they're not going to get there, and so they're pushing the legal route. So, you know, you're seeing a strategy that's familiar to all of us just used against us. The other thing that should be noted is that also last week, the court decided to hear the case of the so-called partial birth abortion ban, which they also heard in the year 2000. The bans have been declared unconstitutional in 2000 by the Supreme Court and by every single federal court that has heard them. Nonetheless, it's going up again. And I think what this is you just keep pushing. And you hope with a newly configured court that we do have, that things will change. So the old court said you had to have an exception in law for women's health. But maybe the new court won't think that. Maybe the new court will say it's okay just to have the life of the pregnant woman. And there was a heated debate in South Dakota last week. They were trying to get exceptions for rape, incest, and health of the pregnant women, and it didn't pass. And it's interesting, I've been doing some work on the Hyde Amendment, which was passed in 1976. It cut off federal Medicaid funding. So I was reading the debate that went on at that time. And there, too, the issue was whether there would be an exception for the woman's health. And you have representatives saying, well, we don't want an exception for health. A woman could have a hangnail and say she needs an abortion. We don't want to have an exception for rape because women will just say they've been raped and then they'll have abortions. So if you listen to what the legislators are saying about women, it's actually quite depressing in terms of the views of women, the sort of negative views of women and women's rights. And I think in the end, that's really what they're fighting about. This is not a fight between some people who think human life begins at conception and a bunch of other people who don't. It just can't be. We're a society that lives with incredible moral disagreement. You know, think about the death penalty. You read about an abortion clinic being bombed, and you're almost inured to it. Oh, another one. And in fact, we call it anti-abortion violence, as opposed to bombing, terrorism, harassment. So I think that it has to be that the stakes in this fight are much higher to help us understand where the vehemence is coming from. It's about power and not wanting to lose the power you have. The governor of South Dakota, he said, I would have preferred to keep going with an incremental approach. And just so people understand what the incremental approach is, banning public funding for abortion, which is the federal government did it in 1976, and 33 states have banned Medicaid funding. So Medicaid is health insurance for poor people. So that's one. Mandatory waiting periods, 23 states have them. So what that means, it gives you an example, because of all of the restrictions in Mississippi you have to go twice to the clinic before you can have an abortion. So what does that mean? It means that later abortions, second trimester abortions, have gone up by 40% because you're pushing a delay. So you have bans, mandatory waiting periods, parental involvement laws. 43 states have laws that say you have to either notify your parent or get their consent. Now again, it seems sort of reasonable. You know, your kid can't get an aspirin in school without your permission. How come they should be able to get an abortion? And I think if to a lot of people who support abortion rights, they also support having their children have to tell them. But I think if you think about it just for a little bit, most teenagers tell at least one parent or some adult in their lives. And the ones who can't really can't, either because they're scared, because they're in a bad situation, or like the teenager in the early 90s, Becky Bell, who lived in Indiana from a middle-class family, like many of the ones sitting here in this room, she was just too ashamed and didn't want to disappoint her parents. And so she went and she got an illegal abortion and she died. And her parents, who had always believed in parental consent laws, have become impassioned activists against them as a result of that, because they see what it is, what the reality is. I mean, a lot of what I think about these issues is that you've got to ground it in the reality of people's lives. And so much of the debate is going on as if it's not about real women and men and children and families, but it's about uteruses that exist, I don't know where, and fetuses that are in those uteruses, and life in the abstract, which is just not going to serve any of us very well in thinking about these issues. I also want to talk about, because it's been in the news a lot, the opponents of abortion call them conscience clauses, and I call them religious refusals. This is pharmacists and other healthcare workers claiming that they don't have to provide a service or care if it conflicts with their ethical or religious system. So in the name of that, there have been pharmacists who have refused to fill prescriptions for emergency contraception, which many of you may know as the morning after pill. Pharmacists have refused to fill prescriptions for contraception. They have refused to participate, healthcare workers, in vitro fertilization and also in embryonic stem cell research. 18 states are considering passing legislation that would allow people to basically opt out. And again, I don't think people should be made to do things that are against their ethical and religious systems, but I also don't think there's a basic right to be a pharmacist or to be an OBGYN. What does the court look like now? Not very good. Okay, on the record to reverse Roe, it are Scalia and Thomas, of course. Kennedy is a mixed bag. Justice O'Connor, who was the swing vote, is gone. And we don't know what Roberts will do, and do we not know what Alito will do? So it really is not a very good picture. And Justice Stevens, who is one of the clear votes to uphold Roe, is 85 years old. Oh. So as you know, these court cases take their time. And even if he is determined to hang on until the last possible moment, it's a scary picture. Send him vitamins. and, you know, pray. I think that's why people are really worried about the court. Roe v. Wade was never supposed to be the ceiling. It was supposed to be the floor. It was supposed to be the beginning of winning a whole range of reproductive rights and freedoms, and it has become the ceiling. If anything we learn from South Dakota is that you never quite win it, right? You just have to, here we are, and the people who fought for legal abortion thought they had taken us there, and they did take us part of the distance, and then you go back, and then you go forward again, and the anti-war movement against the war in Vietnam thought that, you know, we had done things so that it would not be possible for the government to do the kinds of things that it's doing now. And so what we need is a sustainable vision, a vision that keeps us inspired in the work that we're doing. And to me, choice doesn't do it, but justice really does. And I think of it in the largest sense, and then I think of it in terms of freedom fighters or people who have fought for justice, who have lost their lives doing it, and people who have enriched their lives doing it.
That was Marlene Gerber-Fried speaking about South Dakota's recent abortion ban and the threat it could pose to abortion throughout the country. In Boston, this is Home Fries.